Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up my book, Slime Incorporated. It's my first ever detective novel. It's a story of murder and dirty politics set against the backdrop of the Idaho gubernatorial election as private investigator Cole Ustick tries to navigate this world. The book is available as a paperback, as an ebook, as well as an audiobook through audible.com or the iTunes store. And you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date, July the 29th, 1957. And this one is The Bullet Gray Cottage.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, I always thought the stars in the evening sky were very romantic. But you wouldn't think you would look at them and predict a murder. Now, would you? Yes, this is Gail Collins talking. And I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. This is a story about an astrologer, is it, Gail?
No, Jack. It's a story about an economist.
Well, some of them are stargazers, too, aren't they?
You said it, Jack. I didn't.
Well, let's have the story.
It began with an invitation to visit Professor Krantz, one of the world's foremost economists and experts on international exchange. The professor had heard that my husband, Greg Collins, was a darn good detective. He sent Greg an urgent message to come to the university, where he spent most of his time in the research lab. The invitation was odd, because the professor had the reputation of being a hermit. He never sought publicity. Very few people had ever met his immediate colleagues. He refused all press interviews. Greg and I drove across the Bay Bridge to a quiet, secluded section outside our home in San Francisco. We met the professor in his study.
Mr. Collins, I have been invited to the Lake Louise Conference.
Yeah, I read about it, Professor. Industrialists from Europe and South America meeting in private at executive session.
That is correct. They are going to make certain decisions which will affect the economics of every Western nation, especially their currency. I want you to come to Lake Louise with me.
Me, Professor? What for?
I go by what the stars tell me, Mr. Collins. I have studied ancient folklore extensively. You know, the early scientists placed a great deal of faith in reading the future from the stars. Whenever I follow them, I am well and successful. When I do not, there is danger and disaster. Oh, I know you think the old codger is just foolish, a superstitious man. But the stars have never been wrong for me, Mr. Collins.
Well, can you tell me an example of what you mean?
Yes. My secretary, Herbert Sands, he acted as secretary and bodyguard for me. Ordinarily, he would have taken this trip with me.
What's wrong, Professor?
Herbert has disappeared completely. The night after he vanished, I foresaw an evil omen in the sky.
Then you want Greg as a bodyguard?
Precisely.
Frankly, Professor, I'm not a bodyguard. I'm a private detective.
Nevertheless, if some sort of trouble develops, I would find your services most valuable, would I not?
You certainly would.
There is danger in this conference at Lake Louise.
What?
These decisions will affect stocks, bonds, monetary standards.
We were planning a vacation, and now you...
Oh, by all means, take your wife with you. I'd be delighted.
Let's do it, Greg. They say Lake Louise is one of the most beautiful spots in the world.
You have got to come with me. I must not make this trip alone.
We'll go, Professor.
Oh, good. A private plane has been chartered for me. Hangar 6. At 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. To avoid reporters and the public.
Have you any reason other than the stars to believe you're in personal danger? Any enemies? In some personal trouble?
No. But the stars would not deceive me. Something ominous is in the air about my going to Lake Louise.
Now, could you be more specific?
I mean death, Mr. Collins. Violent death.
After we left the professor, I went around singing about the breeze on Lake Louise. Greg grumbled about being a nursemaid to a neurotic professor. But the fee covered our vacation expenses and that made the whole deal more pleasant. I showed Greg a few travel folders showing midnight sailing on the lake. So Greg came around slowly, as usual, to liking the idea. At 5 a.m., we found Hangar 6. The airport was deserted. As we reached the door of the plane, a rather short, stocky man with heavy glasses.
Yes. What can I do for you?
Is Professor Krantz on the plane?
Sorry, you can't see him. No reporters.
Oh, we're not reporters. We're going with him.
No one's going with him.
Now, look, he gave me his card. He said if we had any trouble, we should show it to him. Hey, would you take it to him?
If he sees the card, he'll okay our getting aboard the plane.
Wait here, please. I'll ask him.
Great. Poor old man is so frightened. He surrounded himself with all sorts of gods and rigmarole.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
Nothing.
I know you, chum.
I don't like the atmosphere around here, that's all. Something screwy.
He's a weird old duck. But cute, I think. Like a little boy who believes in bogeymen.
Well, this Lake Louise better be good. I don't enjoy the prospect of soothing the old man's brow while he looks around for gremlin.
Well, there's the man again. He'll probably go in now.
The professor's changed his mind. He says forget it.
What?
Well, he was very anxious for us to go yesterday.
Maybe, but now he's changed his mind. Here. He said here's $100 for your trouble.
But he was so upset yesterday. He insisted.
Sorry. Now, if you don't mind, we'll be taking off.
But I was planning to go to Lake Louise.
Well, it's just as well, Gail. Thank the professor for us.
He certainly will.
But, Greg...
Come on, Gail. Let's walk back to the entrance gate.
Bye.
Bye.
Greg Collins, you treat this as though it were nothing.
Why not? Maybe his secretary, Herbert Sands, came back. Maybe he got another guy for my job. Well, none of my business. Yeah, I'll take you to Lake Louise some other time. And this time we'll head for Big Bear Lake. Look for a phone booth, Gail. I want to call a client today. I'm staying in town.
But you said you suspected something.
Just a gloomy morning, that's all. Here's a booth. Wait here. Door. You want to fix these doors in these phone booths? They jam so often. Good. Now, if I have...
Greg! Look! In the booth!
I see it. Don't make fun.
Nancy? He isn't dead, is he?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And there's no accident. And you sit on the back of the head.
Can you find out who he is?
Wait, I'll look in his pocket. Yes. Look something here. Map. Aerial map of the Lake Louise section.
See, Greg, I told you that...
Let's see the identification bracelet. Jim, best pilot we... That's it. Come on, Gail.
Oh, where to?
That plane, hurry.
Where are we going? What?
The hangar. We gotta get on that plane. That man must have flied the professor to Lake Louise. Don't you see that? Run past it. Hey, cut it off the plane. Hurry. This door, we've got to get it open before she takes off.
You'll never do it, Greg.
I got it. Jump in, come on, jump in.
Oh, we made it.
Come on, quite a surprise. I thought you two went home.
Well, the professor changed his mind, so we changed ours, too.
We're so anxious to see Lake Louise.
What happened back there, Ned?
Our two friends decided to come along.
Oh, where's the professor?
The cabin in back. Well, if you two were coming along, you'd better get acquainted.
My name's Collins. This is my wife, Kate.
Mine's Ned Ferry.
Are we flying directly to Lake Louise?
Yeah. Nick's a good pilot. Are you newspaper people?
No. We're going to read a report at the conference. Can I talk to the professor?
No, he don't want to be disturbed.
Well, I'm sure I'd like to talk to me.
You heard him, Colin. Sit up.
Nick may be a hot rock pilot, but he's not very polite, is he?
Well, that's rather surprising. Most of the regular pilots are courteous. Are you part of the professor's entourage, Ned?
I'm not a delegate, no. Just going along with the professor.
I'd like to see him, Ned. Maybe if I just stuck my head in the door...
I'm not going to see it again. The professor is to be left alone.
Get away from that cabin door, Colin.
You don't hear well, do you?
Professor Kranz, you in there?
Yes. Who is he?
Greg Collins. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Please do not disturb
me. All right, Professor. You're an eager beaver, eh, Colin?
Sometimes.
I'll just try to control you. You could be all wrong, you know. Everything might be just fine. There might be no reason at all to be upset. None at all.
But we knew something was wrong, and we were determined to get to the bottom of it. Keep your ears pinned, then. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story. For hours, Greg and I fenced with Ned. We weren't sure what was up. Greg kept trying to get clues about the murdered pilot in the phone booth. Ned seemed perfectly innocent. Could he be just a tough bodyguard, or what? He kept making believe about going to the conference to read a paper. And we landed at the airport and began taxiing down the runway.
Look to left, Lake Louise Airport. Let's go.
You ready, Gail?
Yeah, surely.
Nice to know you, Ned. Congratulations, Tom. For what?
Keeping up the air.
What? It's
a bit about being delicate. You haven't anything to do with the conference. You're a private citizen. And you aren't going anywhere, you know. That's fair to that.
Maybe.
I think so. I'd be a pickpocket, Tom. Want to see one of your own calling times? I got it off you as soon as you got on the plane.
Congratulations, Ned. You helped yourself with that gun I bought to protect the professor, too.
Yeah. Now I'm going to do all the talking. When we get off the plane, you see nothing to anybody. You get into a car with us and keep the traps off. Otherwise, the life of yours will get a pretty little head blown. Understand? Go on. Just walk to the car. Be quiet. If anybody asks you anything, don't ask. I'll do the talking.
Look, he says, Gary.
I'm all alone down.
Just remember what Peter said, Gary. Oh, Peter's gonna get real angry.
Greg, Ned, and I sat in back of the car. Nick was at the wheel. They were too smart to let either of us sit with the driver. Ned had the gun out in the open now, ready to use it at any second. No one else got out of the plane. The car tore across the Canadian countryside towards Lake Louise.
All right to talk now, teacher?
Never mind the gags, Collins, or just the laughs. I'll plant one on your ugly puss.
He is charming, isn't he?
That goes to you too, Gale.
Want to hear a story, Ned?
I don't want to hear anything.
This one's all about how a gang of hoods kidnapped Professor Kranz, maybe knocked him out, and substituted a pony for him, an actor.
That's an old story. Let's hear a new one.
Very few people know what Krantz looked like. He lived 10 miles from nowhere. His name is known, not his face. Never appeared in print. Just a handful of people back in San Francisco know him by sight. A pushover, no? Good way to get your own man into the Lake Louise conference.
You're a crummy detective.
I know 60-year-old kids could have figured all that out.
Maybe you like the end of the story better. I'm working on it now.
Cut it out, Gail.
What point out?
I saw you in the mirror. Making that play for Nick. Lay up.
Oh. Shut up, Craig.
Make the play for every guy we meet.
He ain't doing nothing, Colin.
I can't even look at another man without this husband of mine burning up. What's wrong with a girl looking at somebody?
Not the way you're looking, chump.
Want to sit up front with me, Mrs. Collins?
You can call me Gail, Nick.
Nobody goes up front with Nick.
Oh, we just talk a little, man.
Shut up and drive. Your love life can wait till this job's over.
Don't worry. This man Collins won't be on anybody's way. Not longer.
I picked up the keys in Graves to make a plea for Nick. And I kept on doing the best I could. By the time we pulled up to a small gray cottage hidden in a clump of trees, I'd almost convinced myself I had a yen for Nick. We went into the living room of the empty cottage, and I saw why Greg had thought of the trunk. They tied him to a chair that left me free. Ned disappeared.
We gotta stay here with your husband, Gailey.
But why, Ned?
I gotta keep an eye on him. Ned's orders. Look around, honey. See if you can find a radio. Maybe we can hear a little rock and roll.
Here's one.
Sam?
Sure. There still isn't much of a party.
I'm warning you, Nick. You won't be happy till you buy a less big one.
Maybe I will, pal.
Anything around here to eat or drink?
Oh, well, might be something in this cabinet. Yeah, here's the bottle.
Pour me a drink.
Okay, sweetheart.
Yes, to ask me.
You bet, honey.
Here's to forgetting about him in that corner there. Okay. Come on, Nick.
Okay, baby. Let's go.
I kept working on this, still not sure what Greg had in mind. After about 20 minutes, Nick had some drinks. He was feeling very talkative.
Well, you get rid of that lug, Gail, and I'll take care of you.
You talk a very fancy ball game, but how are you going to do it? Is deal going to pay off well?
You see, pal, already with the banquet.
Why? Same draw like that.
And how about it, Nick? You stand and make money?
Yeah, sure. What did you do with the weevil set of plans, Nick?
We send him on a Girl Scout picnic. Try again, Colin. I ain't that silly.
Come on, Nick, don't pay attention to him. Hey, there's no more cigarettes, no more liquor.
Oh, wait here. I'll go find someone to
How am I doing,
Greg? A little too well. And get this stick up my hands and put it into this bottle where I can reach it fast. In just maybe 5 seconds. Hurry.
Here it comes.
Yarny. Cigarettes, and I found some beer in the refrigerator. Nothing stopping our little party, huh? How's for another dance?
Okay. You're a very good dancer.
Oh, I got all kinds of talent.
You know the new step they do with the circling around?
Oh?
Well, I'll show you. Now watch me. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Can you do it?
Try it once more. Show me.
Okay. One,
here
two,
three. Good.
Naturally. He didn't just tap him with that liqueur bottle. He tripped over the cord to the radio, too.
I'll take back my gun.
Now what?
Nick isn't alone here. I have to see if anybody else is around.
How?
I'll duck behind this door. You scream.
I what?
Scream right now. Scream like you were being murdered. Just wait.
Hey! Who's screaming? Hey! Hey!
What the... Hello, Matt. Something's wrong. I guess I'll find Ned out of the way. Let's look for a phone. I've got to call a conference.
Well, I don't see a phone.
Neither do I. I found it, but keep your eyes open. I wouldn't be surprised if the real Professor Krantz was here somewhere.
Maybe they've killed him.
I'm not sure. You've got to see if he's around here. Let's go upstairs.
Ned's flight is coming, too. Better make it very fast.
Try these rooms. Open all the doors. Not in here.
This room's empty. Oh, Craig, why don't we go to this big conference and tell them what's happened? Why waste time looking for the professor?
They'll never believe us. We've got to have the real man. They'll think we're crazy or we're playing a trick.
Here he is, Craig. In here, on the top.
I've seen
him. He's ill.
No. Let me see that. He's in drug jail, and they've got to bring him too. Humped up his face, that'll help. Professor Krantz. Professor Krantz. Sit up, Professor. Can you sit up?
I am so weak.
Keep an eye on the two guys downstairs, Gail. Tell me if they come too.
Turn right, Krantz.
You were dope, Professor. They wouldn't know where you're being taken or who took you there. Now, try to get a hold of yourself. Recognize me? Recognize me now?
Yes. Mr. Collins.
Come on. We're going to try and make it to the conference. They have a man that sneaked in there. We've got to stop him. Now, lean on me. Stand up, come on. That's it. Come on. I want to come out, Gail?
Yes, but hurry.
See the car outside?
Yes.
Let's see if we can make it.
Stay right where you are, folks. I'll be back in a minute to bring you the time of the case. We got the professor downstairs and into the car and ripped away down the highway.
We must make it on time, Mr. Collins. The consequences of an unscrupulous group of men having access to advanced information could be enormous.
Turn on the radio, Gail.
It could be a serious blow to the Western nation.
My darling, look for news. They may be covering the company. You can feel that way if we're too late.
Nothing doing yet.
From the auditorium, the delegates will be gathering.
Got it.
We are not allowed to give you radio coverage of this Lake Louise conference because the information and decisions made there will be very secret.
Drive faster, Greg, faster!
You got it on the phone now.
Oh, there's only a motor cop that spot us. They only see you when you don't want them to. He could clear the way for us.
Many nations are gathering. From the Styles of Harvard, Professor de Santigny of Belgium, the British Treasury advisor, Sir John McDowell, I don't recognize this next gentleman. Yes, it's Professor Krantz, the economist from San Francisco.
That's your impersonator, Professor. He's at the meeting. How long will it be before any secret material is discussed?
Very little time. Roll call, then they begin. Urgent international money matter.
Come on, Greg, come on!
There it is, Greg. The main driveway to the conference building. See the sign?
Right. Come on, Professor. Follow me.
Go ahead, Mr. Collins.
The attendants. They'll stop you, Greg.
I hardly think so, Gail. Out of my way, please.
Oh,
I see the doorway once. Can you duck under those velvet ropes, Professor? Good. That's it. Here we are.
I do not often appear in public, but for so vital an occasion...
Gentlemen, may I interrupt? Someone in this room is masquerading as Professor Ephraim Krantz. In order to have access to the information being discussed here...
Mr. Collins, look! The man on the platform, the speaker. Herbert Sands, my secretary.
Get off that platform, Stan!
The window! He's going out the window! To the balcony!
Craig fired at the imposter and winged him in the shoulder. The meeting eventually calmed down. The real professor took his proper place. And Craig and I left the conference room.
Come on, Gail. We've had it.
But Craig, we're supposed to be on a vacation. This is gorgeous country. You aren't going back to San Francisco now, are you?
Oh, no. What was it you were telling me about moonlight sailing on a Canadian lake?
Craig and I did go for moonlight sailing. If you've ever competed with a sailboat for a man's attention, you must know how difficult it is. But I won. Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Kate and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, the Bullet Gray Cottage. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder, where there is crime and romance. There you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Holmes.
Welcome back. Well, my favorite episode of this series so far. A clever premise, and then you have some really suspenseful scenes. And a nice Cold War backdrop to it really does make it work. So, yeah, I really quite enjoyed this episode. I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you so much to Becky. Becky's been one of our Patreon supporters since March of 2019, and she's currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Becky. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Jordan next Tuesday. Another episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.